الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're reading in the chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب كراهة الشرب من فم القربة ونحوها وبيان أنه كراهة تنزيه لا تحريم. The chapter with regards to the disapproval of drinking directly from the mouth of a water skin or similar vessels, and the clarification that this disapproval is not prohibited, but rather it is disliked. We had read the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and likewise the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, clarifying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had forbade this affair. We have seen a number of benefits with regards to these narrations and the wisdom from the prohibition, and that the prohibition is not a mandatory or emphasized prohibition, but rather it's from the aspect of clarifying that which is disliked. And this is established likewise from the narration that the author he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, of Thabit, Kabsha bint Thabit, Ukht Hassan ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhum, that the narration of Thabit, Kabsha, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to her house one time and she had her water skin that was hanging. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he drank from the mouth of that water skin while he was standing. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while he was standing. So the prohibition of drinking directly from the mouth of the large vessels and the likes, or from the water skins and the vessels for the large vessels for containing or preserving the water, this is something that is disliked. And what clarifies that is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did that in this case of need. He did that in the time of need. In our previous class, we were discussing the issue mentioned in this narration, that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he pulled the mouth of the water skin and drank from it directly, she went to the water skin radiallahu anha and she cut it. And the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the wisdom behind that. وَإِنَّمَا قَطَعَتْهَا لِتَحْفَظَ مَوْضِعَ فَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. The wisdom, or the only reason that she cut the mouth of the water skin in that manner, is to preserve and to keep the place where the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had touched. وَتَتَبَرَّكْ بِهِ, in order to seek blessing from that. So in our previous class, we're discussing about the issue of a tabarruk and seeking blessing. And this is a very important issue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-mubarik. Yubariku fima yasha'u min khalqihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, He is the possessor of blessing. And blessing comes from Allah alone. Allah azza wa jal, He is the one who bestows on His creation as He wills, making something blessed or beneficial or good. And the blessing is only obtained from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are things that are established that there's blessings in them, and there's a proper and legislative manner to obtain the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that is that which is mentioned in this narration, and likewise the narration that had preceded in the previous chapter of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, whenever also he was looking for the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had placed his noble lips on the vessel, and he's seeking the blessing of the remnants of that which came from the saliva of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So again, to emphasize this affair, that every believer is blessed. Alhamdulillah, every believer is blessed and has blessing. Yani baraka dhatiya. Baraka dhatiya. His essence has blessing. Every believer has blessing with him. But the blessing of a believer, barakatun lazima, غير متعدية. The blessing that a believer he has, it's in his own self, in his own soul. It's not something that extends to others physically. And the way to a believer could be blessed for others is that he would advise them, he would admonish them, he would guide them, he would direct them. And the likes like this, he'll be kind to them, he'll be merciful with them, he'll be patient with them, he'll be forbearing with them, he'll show forgiveness. All of this is from the blessing that comes from dealing with a believer. And the people, no doubt, they benefit from the blessing and the mercy that is established from the true faith and sincere belief in creed, and la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. But what we're talking about now is blessing that a person, he will seek from something and he will hope to obtain it and derive it from that thing. And this is what they're doing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's special in this circumstance. Barakatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-dhatiyya muta'addiyya. Muta'addiyya. The blessing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it extends to other than him. Meaning that if they touch the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will receive blessing. They will receive goodness. His saliva has blessing and goodness in it. His hair sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sweat. And the likes, all his perspiration, all of these things, they're blessed by the permission and the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is Allah who chooses whom He wills from His creation and blesses them. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. This is the statement of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, he was blessed. And Allah, He made him blessed wherever he may be. So the creation is Mubarak, and Allah Azza wa Jal alone is Al-Mubarik, the one who provides the blessing. So if you seek blessing, you seek blessing from the one who provides it in the manner that he has prescribed and legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, we've seen the narration in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Ibn Umar about the nakhla and the comparison of the nakhla, the date palm, to the believer, and how it has so much good and the likes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna fi shajari lama barakatuhu ka barakatil muslim. That indeed, from the trees, there is a type of tree that its blessing is like that of the blessing of a Muslim. It's like that of the blessing of a Muslim. Any of this tree, the nakhla, is a tree that the people of knowledge have mentioned. If it's taken care of properly and it's nourished correctly, then it's all beneficial. It's all beneficial. Every part of that particular tree can be used, from the roots to the trunk to the leaves and the fruits. They all have a benefit and a means of usage. And also the fruits, they come timely and in the best and most beneficial manner. So likewise, a true Muslim is blessed in the same way, and he has blessing along with him. But the point to be made now is that the blessing of others besides the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah favors them with, this is with regards to their own self. This is with regards to their own self. You cannot go to someone who is apparently righteous and touch him or wipe on him, hoping to draw blessing from his body. Hoping to draw blessing from his body or to get his saliva and the likes like this. This is the point to be made, because many people have deviated in this affair. They have deviated in this affair, and you'll find them wiping on individuals who are alive, or even on graves, or even on stones, or even on the Kaaba, for example. No doubt, the Kaaba is blessed, but the means to seek the blessing is not from wiping on the wall. It's not from wiping on the wall or rubbing on the wall and the likes like this. You don't even see blessing from the stone, the black stone itself. Rather, the blessing is in following the sunnah. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned speaking to the black stone, addressing the people. Speaking to the black stone, addressing the people. إِنِّي لَعَلَمُ أَنَكَ حَجٌ لَا تَدُورُ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ وَلَا تَدُورُ. Verily, I know you're just a stone. You do not bring any benefit or harm. Any benefit or harm. لَوْلَا أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَبِلُكَ مَا قَبَلْتُكَ. If I had not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing you, I'd never kiss you. I'll never kiss you. So even in kissing the black stone, it's not drawing blessing from the stone. The blessing is following the sunnah. And the blessing is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to seek blessing in the non-legislative manner is a type of shirk. It's a type of shirk in the rububiyyah of Allah azza wa jal. It's Allah, He provides the blessing. You must seek it in the manner prescribed. In the manner prescribed. It's minor shirk if one thinks it's a means, and it's not a legislative means, not legislative in the religion. It's not legislated in the religion, nor is it legislated in the universal command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is beneficial or good. Then taking it as a means and believing that it will benefit or protect from harm, this is falsehood. This is falsehood. And it leads to shirk, major shirk. And it leads to shirk, and it leads to major shirk. So this was the issue that we're discussing. To clarify again, that they make the comparison, those who fall into these affairs, they make the comparison with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that the Prophet is blessed because of his righteousness. So therefore, likewise, people who are also deemed to be righteous, then also they're blessed. So we seek the blessing from them as they used to seek the blessing from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So first we go back and we clarify the difference between the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the bodies of other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's special. He's special. He is specific. He's the messenger of Allah. He's the best of mankind. So therefore, his blessing is muta'addiya in this manner. As for other than him, it's not the same. And it's not proper to compare him.
It's not proper to compare anyone to him with regards to piety and righteousness. Not only is he the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the best of all prophets and messengers. And he's the imam of the mursaleen, the imam al-mursaleen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best of mankind, and the most pious and righteous, and fearing, and humble, and sincere, and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship and devotion. So no one is compared to him. No one is compared to him in this aspect. So to compare others to him in righteousness and piety, and righteousness and piety in order to derive this ruling, the permissibility of seeking blessing from others, like they would do it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is incorrect and false. So in order to have a proper qiyas, any proper analogy or comparison, the two things that you're comparing, they must be equal, and there must not be any major differences between the two. There must not be any major differences in the two for them to be compared in that manner in order to derive the same ruling from them. So whenever there's a difference between the two, then they will not be compared and the ruling will not be the same because there's a difference. And Allah, He does not gather between things that are different, and He does not separate between things that are the same, any in the rulings, in the legislation. This is something that is established. So no doubt there's a difference between the best of mankind and the rest of mankind. You understand that? So there's no comparison here, and it's not proper to compare. Rather, this is disrespectful. And likewise, we've seen as well that none of the companions, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none of them would seek blessing from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or from his saliva, or from his body, or wiping on his clothing, or trying to have any of his garments or the remnants that he left behind from his hairs and the likes like this. This was not established, nor was it established from the tabi'in after them, as well doing that with any one of the companions, or any of the atba'i tabi'in doing that with any one of the tabi'in. So this is something that is a consensus in the early generations that they did not do. So therefore it's not allowed and not permissible. It's not correct and it's not proper. We should not be deceived by what some people, they try to call to from misguidance and deviation. And many of them, they do that in the name of the love of the righteous. But love, if it's not checked by the reins of the legislation, is from the greatest means to fall into transgression and go beyond the limits and to go to extremes. Al-ghulu fi al-deen. The greatest means to fall into deviation is to go to extremes. And from the greatest means to go to extremes with regards to love and honor and respect. And this is how shirk first occurred in the first place. This is how shirk first occurred in the first place. Yani honoring and respecting the righteous in a manner that led to extremism and those righteous being called on besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something to be aware of and to avoid and stay away from and to not be tried by. Also in this narration, the narration of Kabsha radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only did he drink from the mouth of the water skin, clarifying the issue that the author, he's mentioning here, and to verify that the prohibition that had come in the previous narrations is a prohibition of karaha, that is disliked or discouraged, but it's not impermissible. And it could be allowed in circumstances or whenever there's a need with no problem and no blame. But also we see as well the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration drinking from the mouth of the water skin while standing. And this chapter is going to come after the chapter coming. So this issue is going to be an evidence for that which is coming as well about the permissibility of drinking while standing. And then the details, inshallah, they will come. Now we read the author, he says, Babu karahati an-nafkhi fi sharab. The chapter about it being disliked for blowing in the drink. This is similar to that which has preceded a few chapters back about the prohibition of at-tanafus. Naha an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an yutanafas fi al-ina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade breathing in the vessel. If a person takes a drink, he will not breathe in the vessel. Rather, he will take the vessel away from his mouth if he needs to breathe, and he will breathe outside of the vessel, and then he will take a drink again. And we've seen what the people of Nanas, they have mentioned with regards to this affair. So the issue of the prohibition of a nafkh fi sharab is the same as a tanafus fi sharab. The same wisdom and the same reason, it's reality. In reality, very, very similar. So there's the issue of breathing in the vessel and blowing into the vessel. The bab qara'ati nafkhi fi sharab, the chapter of the disapproval, or that is dislike to blow into the drink. So this is very similar, has the same ruling and wisdom, likewise from the prohibition as breathing in the drink. We read the narration of the author. He says, Rahimahullah, and Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an al-nafkhi fi sharab. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade blowing in the drink. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ A man, he said, أَلْقَذَاتُ أَرَاهَا فِي الْإِنَىٰ I see a small piece of something in a vessel, like a small stick or piece of wood or a piece of a leaf or something like this. I see that in the vessel. And he mean, what do I do? And he meaning, if you see something on the top of the water, floating on top of the water, maybe you just want to blow it away. Blow it away. So this is what he's asking about. This is what he's asking about. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid blowing in the vessel. Then he said, amen. He says, but what about the small, the qadat? You need a small piece of wood or the likes like this that maybe will be the debris that will be in the vessel. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqala ahriqha. Ahriqha. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pour it out. Pour it out. Qala inni la arwa min nafasin wahidin. So the man, he said, but indeed I do not quench my thirst. I'm not quenched by one breath, any by taking the drink in one gulp. In this narration, this portion has proceeded likewise, clarifying the permissibility of drinking in one gulp, so long as one he did not breathe into the vessel while he's drinking. قَالَ فَأَبِنْ الْقَدْحَ إِذَنْ عَنْفِيكَ إِذَنْ عَنْفِيكَ He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so take the vessel away from your mouth then. Take the vessel away from your mouth then. And even he's saying that my thirst is not quenched if I take one drink. If I take one drink, I need to take more than one drink, meaning before my thirst is quenched. فَأَبِنْ الْقَدْحَ إِذَنْ عَنْفِيكَ So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, then remove the vessel away from your mouth. And he meaning to take a breath. And then do take another drink. So if you need more than one drink, this is allowed. But you must take the vessel away from your mouth. He says, رَوَاهُ تِرْمِذِي وَقَالَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيٌ It's narrated by Tirmidhi, and he mentioned that the narration is حَسَنٌ صَحِيٌ meaning that he's declaring it to be authentic and a reliable and good narration. A reliable and good narration. So some of the benefits from this narration have proceeded in the previous issues. The author, he says, وَعَنِ بْنَ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ نَهَا أَنْ يُتَنَفَّسَ فِي الْإِنَاءِ أَوْ يُنْفَخَ فِيهِ And he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbasin رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا that the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ he forbade breathing in the vessel or blowing in it. He forbade sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from breathing in the vessel or blowing in it. رَوَاهُ تِرْمِذِي وَقَالَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ At-Tirmidhi, he narrated this narration likewise, and he declared it to be authentic and good. Authentic and good. So again, these issues here, they have proceeded in the chapter we discussed with regards to the issue of breathing in the vessel. So التنفس والنفخ علتهما واحد. The wisdom in علت النحي فيهما واحدة. The wisdom from the prohibition or the reason for the prohibition of blowing or breathing in the vessel is one, it's the same. And that has proceeded. And that is because if a person, he breathes in the vessel or he blows in the vessel and people watch him, then maybe they will see that and they will dislike after that to drink after him. They will see that and they will see him blowing in the vessel or blowing on the water or in the drink and the likes like this or him breathing in the cup, so on and so forth. Maybe they see something from his saliva going into the vessel and now they will dislike to drink after him. And maybe the drink would be wasted or the person who will lose his right in his turn and the likes like this and he would turn down the drink because he finds it to be something gross or he dislikes to drink after someone after blowing in it or after breathing in it and the likes like this. Also the people of Nara, as they mentioned, that maybe some saliva or there could be a contagion or maybe something from his breath would come onto the drink or come onto the vessel and make it have a bad odor, so on and so forth, which would also cause the people to not like to drink from that vessel or drink after this person. So this is from the manners and etiquettes of drinking. This is from the manners and etiquettes of drinking. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ بَيَانِ جَوَازِ الشُّرْبِ قَائِمًا وَبَيَانِ أَنَّ الْأَكْمَلَ وَالْأَفْضَلَ الشُّرْبُ قَاعِدًا the chapter with regards to the clarification of the permissibility of drinking while standing, and the clarification of that it's more complete and virtuous, or better, that it's more complete and better that one drinks while he is sitting. That one drinks while he is sitting. So the author, he says, فِيهِ حَدِيثُ كَبْشَةَ السَّابِقُ. And in this regards, there is the narration of Kabsha that has preceded. The narration of Kabsha that has preceded. يعني whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا فَشَرِبَ مِنْ فِي قِرْبَةٍ مُعَلَّقَةٍ قَائِمًا. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into her home and he drank from the mouth of the water skin that is hanging while he's standing. While he's standing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from the evidences of this chapter, clarifying the permissibility of that. Clarifying the permissibility of that. The author, he says, وَعَنْ إِبْنَ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّهُ قَالَ سَقَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مِنْ زَمْزَمْ فَشَرِبَ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَشَرِبَ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ مُتَّفِقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Then the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, that he said that I gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some water to drink from Zamzam, from the water of Zamzam. I gave him a drink from Zamzam, and he drank while he is standing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people of Najd, they mentioned this narration. Here was in Hajjati, fi Hajjati al-Wada'. This was in their farewell pilgrimage, in the farewell pilgrimage, which was in the 10th year of the Hijrah, just less than 3 months before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this narration here, we're aware of the time, and it's in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something to take note with regards to this chapter. The people of Najd, they will use this as an aspect of evidence. We discuss it, inshaAllah. So he says, rahimahullah, wa an nizal ibn Sabra radiyallahu anhu annahu qala ata aliyun radiyallahu anhu baba al-rahba ata aliyun رضي الله عنه باب رحبة فشرب قائما وقال إني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل كما رأيتموني فعلت رواه البخاري. The author, he mentioned now the narration of النزال ابن سبرة رضي الله عنه. He says that Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه, he came to the gate of رحبة, which is a place in Al-Kufa, and he drank while he is standing. He drank while he is standing. And then he said, radiallahu anhu, indeed I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing just as you see me doing. It's narrated by al-Bukhari. The people of Najd, as they mentioned, Allah knows best. There was a rumor, or there was it reached Ali radiallahu anhu, that some people disliked drinking while standing, or that this was something that was being discussed amongst the people. So therefore he displayed this in public, and he mentioned what he mentioned, conveying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to remove any doubts that anyone may have. So he drinks while he's standing in front of a number of people. And then he mentioned after that he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing just as they saw him doing, and he's standing while drinking. After this, the author, he says, وَعَنْ ابْنِ عُمَرَ رضي الله عنهما أنه قال كنا على أهدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نأكل ونحن نمشي ونشرب ونحن قيام ورواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. And the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. He says that in the time of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we used to eat while we're walking and drink while we're standing. In the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to eat while we're walking and drink while we are standing. It's narrated by At-Tirmidhi, and he said the narration is hasanun sahih. It is good, reliable, and authentic. And the people of Najd, they mentioned that whenever a companion, he mentions the likes of the statements, kunna naf'alu wa kunna naqulu, and the likes like this, fi ahdi rasulillah, awa nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is something that Allah knows best that they would do. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's aware of that, and he did not reprimand that. There are a number of examples like this. Yani, from that is another narration by Ibn Umar. I remember now, radiyallahu anhuma, that he says, كُنَّا نَقُولُ وَالنَّبِيُّ حَيِّ كُنَّا نَقُولُ وَالنَّبِيُّ حَيِّ خَيْرُ أَوْ أَفْضَرُ هَذِي الْعُمَّةِ
بعد نبيه أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان. That he used to say that the best of this ummah after its prophet is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. We would say this whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. And he meaning that this is something that was affirmed and known. That was affirmed and known. And Allah knows best. So this would be from the aspect of al-Iqrar. And al-Hadith al-Marfu', as we have taken before, the al-Hadith al-Nabawi, the definition. ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير أو صفة خلقية أو خلقية. Any that which is ascribed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from statement or action or affirmation or affirmation or from his description, physical description or his noble manner صلى الله عليه وسلم. All of this is considered hadith al-marfu'. So things that would occur in his lifetime or in his presence, and he's aware of, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not reprimand or forbid, then this is an affirmation, an indication that it's lawful. That it's lawful. Had it not been lawful, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have reprimanded that. And if there was something happened that was spreading amongst the people in that time, around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they're doing, that's not lawful. And he did not know about that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then revelation would come to the Messenger. Had it not been lawful, because this is the time of a tashri' and the legislation is being established, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the last prophet and the final messenger. This is the last revelation and the final legislation, and it's complete and perfect, and it's complete and perfect, and it has been completed by the grace of Allah azza wa jalla, the conveyance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we see the likes of these narrations, meaning this is something that was established and known by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what he's intending. And likewise, we would never think about the companions that they would say differently. They're all trustworthy and reliable, and they're very diligent and honest in caring and conveying knowledge. So they're not saying anything in deception. We used to do such and such in the time of the Prophet, and say that and not knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew about that. Meaning this indication that they're saying that the Messenger, he was aware of that sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he never reprimanded them or forbade them. And he never reprimanded them or forbade them, wallahu a'lam. After this, the author says, when Amr ibn Shu'ayb an abihi an jaddihi radiyallahu anhu annahu qal ra'aytu rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yashrabu qa'iman wa qa'ida rawahu tirmidhi wa qala hadithun hasanun sahih. The author, now he mentions the narration of Amr ibn Shu'ayb on his father, on his grandfather radiyallahu anhu. The grandfather here is Abdullah ibn Amr. Abdullah ibn Amr, and this is a nuskha, yani fil asanid nuskha hasana, the people of knowledge, they mention this chain here. There's three narrators here. You have Amr ibn Shu'ayb, and you have his father, and then you have the sahabi who is Abdullah, yani the grandfather who is Abdullah ibn Amr so this portion of the chain is considered hasan. It's considered hasan. And if the narrators after that to the author of the work, or the one who was narrating the narration, are reliable, then this chain will be considered hasan. So this is something that's well known. We see a lot of times narrations like this. An Amr ibn Shu'ayb, an Abihi, an Jaddi. Here, al-Jadd huwa Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma. He says, yani Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma ra'aytu rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam yashrabu qa'iman wa qa'idan. He said, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam drinking while he's standing and while he's sitting. It's narrated by Tirmidhi, and he said the narration is good and authentic. So all of these narrations here we see is very clear. It's very clear that it's lawful and permissible to drink while standing. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did this, and even Ali radiallahu anhu is affirming that. But the issue in this particular chapter is that there are other narrations as well that are contrary. So how do we understand them? So we continue reading. The author, he says, وَعَنْ أَنَسَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ نَهَى أَنْ يَشْرَبَ الرَّجُلُ قَائِمًا قَالَ قَتَادَةُ فَقُلْنَا لِأَنَسٍ فَالْأَكْلُ قَالَ ذَلِكَ أَشَرُّ أَوْ أَخْبَثَ ذَلِكَ أَشَرُّ أو أخبث رواه مسلم وفي رواية له أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم زجر عن الشرب قائما زجر عن الشرب قائما. Now the author, he mentions closing this chapter, the narration of Anas رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he forbade a man from drinking while standing.
while standing. What is intended by الرجل يعني الشخص. And the ruling is the same for a man or a woman, the issues that we're discussing here. The same for a man or a woman. يعني so الرجل يعني الشخص, a person. يعني that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade a person from drinking while standing. Qatada, the narrator on Anas, Qatada ibn Diyama al-Sudusi, he's from the Sitta, الذين يدور عليهم الأسانيد, من صغار التابعين. We talked about him before. رضي الله عنه, he died in the 117. He said, I said to Anas, رضي الله عنه, eating, and if he forbade drinking while standing, what about eating? And then he said, ذَلِكَ أَشَرُ أَخْبَثُ. He said, that's more evil, or more filthy, any worse. It's narrated by Muslim. And the author says, and another narration by Imam Muslim, also from the hadith of Anas, رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم زجر عن الشرب قائما. The Prophet scolded the one scolder. He reprimanded. يعني زجر يعني is النهي بشدة أو قوة. النهي بقوة. يعني he prohibited strongly drinking while standing. Then the author he mentions the narration. He says رحمه الله عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يشربن أحد منكم قائما فمن نسي فليستقي. رواه مسلم. This narration by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the messenger, he said, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that one of you must not drink while he's standing. And لا يشربن. So here is like his is a nun al-tawkid, to emphasize, don't do that. Do not drink. Do not, one of you should not drink while he's standing. And whoever forgot, then let him throw up. Rawahu Muslim. So we go back now and we discuss this issue after we've seen these narrations that a number of them mentioning the permissibility of that from the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and then here in these last two narrations we see the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there's a prohibition. We go back to the chapter title. What did the author say? Babu bayani jawaz ash-shurb qa'iman wa bayan an al-akmala wal afdala ash-shurb qa'idan. This is his understanding to summarize of how to deal with the likes of these narrations. The clarification of the permissibility of drinking while standing, and the clarification that it's more complete and better to drink while sitting. So we see there is a prohibition here, and then there is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing himself the thing that was prohibited. So similar to the previous chapters, we see that this would occur to clarify many times that that prohibition is not للتحريم, rather it's للتنزيه. يعني it's not a prohibition for something that is forbidden ultimately, but rather something that is discouraged or disliked. So this is what the author is mentioning here. So he's clarifying that it's allowed to drink while standing, but it's better and preferable to drink while sitting. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his work Zad al-Ma'ad fi hadyi khayri al-ibad, he spoke about the issue of the manners of eating and drinking in two places in this book, in the beginning and also in the end. Here specifically, he says, mentioning, rahimahullah, the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while drinking. We take this portion here. وَكَانَ مِنْ هَدْيِهِ أَشُرْبُ قَاعِدًا هَذَا كَانَ هَدْيُهُ الْمُعْتَادِ هَذَا كَانَ هَدْيَهُ الْمُعْتَادِ. And from his guidance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is drinking while sitting. Ibn Qayyim, we're reading the statements of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. He says that from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to drink while sitting. And this was his normal guidance. Hadyahu al-mu'tad. Yani that he did normally or most of the time. That he was accustomed to. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَصَّحَ أَنْهُ أَنَّهُ نَهَى عَنَ الشُّرْبِ قَائِمًا. And it has been reported authentically from him that he forbade drinking while standing. وَصَّحَ أَنْهُ أَنَّهُ أَمَرَ أَلَّذِي شَرِبَ قَائِمًا أَنْ يَسْتَقِيَ. And it's also been reported authentically that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the one who drank while standing to throw up that which he had drank. وَصَحَ أَنْهُ أَنَّهُ شَرِبَ قَائِمًا. And has been reported authentically from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he himself, he drank while standing. And now he mentions the madhahib of the ulama. He says, فَقَالَ طَائِفَةٌ هَذَا نَاسِخٌ لِلنَّهِ. So a group of the scholars, they mentioned that this narration here is abrogating the prohibition. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he drank while standing, this is a clarification of the fact that that ruling has been abrogated. Whenever he mentioned and he prohibited that verbally, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by doing that in the end of his life, himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a clarification that that ruling was abrogated. Was abrogated. This is one position he's mentioning here.
وقال طائفة بل مبين أن النهي ليس للتحريم بل للإرشاد وترك الأولى.
And another group of scholars, they said rather the fact that he drank while standing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to clarify that the prohibition is not a certain prohibition, meaning that it's haram. That is haram whenever he forbade that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fact that he did it later himself is to clarify that that is not an ultimate or a certain prohibition. It's not meaning that it's haram, meaning that it's something disliked or discouraged. بَلْ لِلْإِشَادِ أَوْ تَرْكِ الْأَوْلَى. Rather, it's from the aspect prohibiting something from giving direction and leaving off that which is more rightful. And so therefore, it's more rightful to drink while sitting, except if there's a need. It's more rightful to drink while sitting. And this was the guidance, like he's mentioning here, most of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is another position. He says, وَقَالَ طَائِفَ. And another group of scholars, they said, لَا تَعَارُضَ بَيْنَهُمَا أَصْلًا. There's no contradiction between these narrations in the first place. فَإِنَّهُ إِنَّمَا شَرِبَ قَائِمًا لِلْحَاجَةِ. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in these circumstances, he only drank while standing because of a need. Because of a need calling for that.
فَإِنَّهُ جَاءَ إِلَى زَمْزَمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَقُونَ مِنْهَا فَاسْتَسْقَى فَنَاوَلُهُ وَدَلْوَ فَشَرِبَهُ وَقَائِمْ.
And he was referring to the narration of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to the water, to the well of Zamzam, and the people are around it taking water. So therefore he asked for some water to drink, and they handed him the bucket and he drank while he's standing. And they handed him the bucket and he drank while he's standing. وَهَذَا كَانَ مَوْضِعَ حَاجَةً. And this was a place of need, and he was in need to drink while he's standing here. So there's no contradiction. There's no contradiction. And if there's a something that is forbidden, and then there's a necessity, then al-dururat tubihu al-mahdurat. And likewise, if there's something that's disliked, then al-hajat tubihu al-makruhat. So here, if there's a need for it, then it would be considered permissible in that circumstance. So therefore, he's saying there's no difference. There's no difference in these narrations. There's no contradiction in these narrations. And he's saying, likewise, there's no need to go to abrogating one of these narrations, whether all of them can be applied in the same light.
It's come in the work Al-Adab al-Shar'iyya by Ibn Muflih, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, وَيَتَوَجَّهُ فِي ذَلِكَ, and in reference to these narrations. وَيَتَوَجَّهُ فِي ذَلِكَ أَنُّهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ شَرِبَ قَائِمًا لِيُبَيِّنَ الْجَوَازِ لِيُبَيِّنَ الْجَوَازِ وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَحْرُمُ وَالنَّهْيُ لِلْكَرَاهَةِ أَوْ لِتَرْكِ الْأَوْلَى أَوْ لِتَرْكِ الْأَوْلَى. So the way that we deal with these narrations here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drank while standing to clarify that it's permissible and that it's not haram or forbidden. And the prohibition that had came, the prohibition was with regards to it being disliked or in order to leave off that which is rightful, any that which is better. You need to clarify that it's not haram to drink while standing, whether it's permissible, but it's better and more proper to drink while sitting. So if a person he has a need, then it's lawful for him to drink while standing, and there's no blame. But if it's possible for him to sit down, it's better for him. But there might be certain circumstances when it's not possible or in his best interest to sit down. Like in the narration, whenever he's drinking from the water of Zamzam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People have not, as I mentioned, that at this time there's a lot of people around, and most likely the ground is slippery, or it's not a proper place for one to sit down. It's not the proper place for one to sit down because of the area, because it's crowded, and likewise because maybe it's very dirty, or there's lots of water and it's slippery, so on and so forth. So therefore, it's not the proper place to sit down. Likewise, in the hadith of Kapsha, radiallahu anha, the water skin is hanging. The water skin is hanging. It's full of water. This is something that you leave hanging. You don't take it down. So he just undid the mouthpiece because he is in need of a drink at this particular time, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he drank in this case while he's standing because of the need and the fact that the water skin is hanging. So this is all to clarify the fact that it's lawful or permissible and it's not haram. And the prohibition is just to discourage that or that is disliked. But if there's a need, then a person is allowed to do that and it's not disliked. And if there's a need,
If he has absolutely no deed, he does that. Wallahu a'lam. Some of the people of knowledge will say that is disliked, or they will say lighter than that, he left off that which is better, and he left off that which is better. Wouldn't it be saying that, and he left the sunnah? They say taraka al-awda, taraka al-awda. It's right. It was better or more right for him to sit down, but it's allowed for him to stand. Also, from those who have an explanation of these affairs, yani al-Safarini rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has a sharh of Manzum al-Adab. Yani al-Mardawi, he has a book, he has a poem, 1,000 lines of poetry, two of them. One of them is about 250 lines of poetry. Another one is Al-Fiyah, Fi al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah. And al-Safarini rahimahullah, he has an explanation of that called Ghidha al-Albab, which is very beneficial with regards to the etiquettes and manners of the legislation. He says here, rahimahullah, al-akhbaru fi shurbi qa'iman sahiha, fa'an-nahyu mahmulun ala khilafi al-awla, wa shurbuhu qa'iman li bayani al-jawaz. And he's summarizing this affair. So the narrations about drinking while standing, they're authentic, and the prohibition is understood that this is contrary to what is best or more proper. And drinking while he's standing is to clarify the permissibility of that. Ibn Hajar, he mentioned and summarized the whole issue in two lines of poetry. Rahimahullah ta'ala says, إِذَا رُحْتَ تَشْرَبْ فَقْعُدْ تَفُوزْ لِسُنَّةِ سُفْوَةِ أَهْلِ الْحِجَازِ وَقَدْ صَحَّهُ شُرْبَهُ قَائِمًا وَلَكِنَّهُ لِبَيَانِ الْجَوَازِ وَلَكِنَّهُ لِبَيَانِ الْجَوَازِ. So again, yani it has the same meaning. With regards to the issue of the order to throw up, and even the last narration that is mentioned, this is one of the strongest evidence that the people of knowledge have who find it to be impermissible to drink while standing. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he commented on this narration. He was asked in a fatwa about this. He says, هَذَا مَنْسُوخٌ لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَمْ شَرِبَ قَائِمًا وَلَمْ يَسْتَقِئِ, that this is abrogated. And then the order to throw up, to order to throw up for the one who forgot and he drank while he's standing. This is abrogated because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam drank while standing. He did not throw up. He did not throw up. And Nawawi, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has the opinion that all of these narrations are established and none of them are abrogated, and rather it's permissible to drink while standing, although it's better to drink while sitting, and it's recommended to throw up if you drank while standing. This is the opinion of An-Nawawi, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala. Allah knows best, as Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned, rahimahullah, this portion here is abrogated. After this, the author, he says, Bab istihbabi kawni saqi al-qawmi akhirahum shurba. The chapter of the fact that it's recommended for the one who is serving the drink to be the last one to drink. We take this narration in our class to come, and the narrations after that, inshallah. And we can take any questions or comments or corrections while we're waiting for the iqamah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.